He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, we can put Greenland on the back burner day. Thursday, the January 22nd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Never a dull moment. President of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And we've got an update in the markets after a wild day yesterday filled with drama. The Dow right now is up 191 points, 49,267. We can see that 50,000 milestone once again here, not too far off in the distance. Meanwhile, the NASDAQ is up 125 today, seeing a little bit of profit-taking in Micron and some of the memory stocks today, but the NASDAQ is up a half a percent to 23,350. Over at the S&P 500, it's up 20, 68.95 as it's headed towards 7,000, it looks like. The Russell 2000 is up 8 tenths of 1% to 27.21. And interest rates, which have really jumped here throughout all of this drama in Greenland, and also the Japan bond market, that has a lot to do with our rise in interest rates. Right now we're at 4.26 on the 10-year, and gold is down a little. Actually, now it's up a little bit, 48.45 on gold, and good old Bitcoin is down 668. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and our certified financial planner. And I would say that we kind of had several months of 2025. Remember the tariff threats? That lasted about 3 months, really, roiling the markets. Well, we had the same thing happen, but it happened in 3 days instead of 3 months.
And one of those was over the weekend, right?
So that so the market was closed. One was Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah,
the market was closed. So it only really impacted the market 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday. And it just so happened that they were able to kind of come to some kind of agreement, because Davos fell right in there on Tuesday and gave Trump a place to go. Gets on that plane, a long plane ride to Davos, Switzerland. Had to turn around at one point and change planes because of an electrical problem. Finally reaches Davos, gives his speech. Says, "I'm not going to use force. We could if we wanted to." And it's like we could blast the heck out of Greenland if we wanted to, but we're not going to. And I think the angle that they finally settled on was, the angle of the let's defend the Arctic against any incursion from Russia and China, and nobody better to do that. And we'll incur the cost of defending that neck of the woods in exchange for some kind of mineral rights over there in Greenland. That seems to be the framework. I listened to Ruta, who's the head of NATO. He's an ally of Trump. He's a big fan of Trump. Not many in Europe are amongst the European leadership, but Ruta is, and he's a pretty good ally to have, being the head of NATO. And they did come away with some kind of, and the markets were reeling and rocking and rolling and swirling, and eventually they ended up with a big gain. Once he was going to throw tariffs on February the 1st, a 10% Greenland tariff. So, you go back to the question, Barry, do tariffs work? Well, the threat of the tariffs, I don't know how much of an impact that had. It definitely roiled the markets. The markets did not want to see a 10% tariff. And a lot of our Congress people and Senate did not want to see a 200% tariff on French wines, which I'm sure they enjoy quite often there in the cafeteria at the Congress.
Well, and it's a threat of tariffs. I mean, you mentioned it in your article back in April in terms of mathematically, economically, over a long period of time, having tariffs in place, it's not beneficial for any countries really involved. But in the short term, or as a negotiation tool, right? It is, you're wielding a big stick when we're talking about, 10%, 25% tariffs. These aren't small sums of monies. And, at least for now, it looks like the negotiation tactic is working.
Right? Well, and it's worked many times, too, here in the past, getting, some kind of a deal, I guess.
I saw Lutnick speak this morning. He was in an interview, and he just looked giddy and amped up, like he's just having the time of his life.
He's having a good time, and he's definitely a confidant. Trump's consigliere, Marlon Brando had Tom as his consigliere. That seems to be Trump's consigliere. The Dow was up 1.2% yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 1.1%. We hit an all-time high here at Gunderson Capital. Hitting another new all-time high today. The S&P was up 1.2 yesterday. The Russell 2000 was up 1.9. Gold was up another 1.2%. The oil stocks had a good day yesterday also, and there is news on that front also. So anyways, the news broke that they'd had a productive meeting and they had a framework of a deal, and that he put off the tariffs that were going to hit on February the 1st, just 10 days from now, and that set the market on fire. And it happened throughout the day, and of course the market reacted to every little bit of news coming out of that area. I see those pictures of Nook. It's always under snow. Does it ever thaw? I don't know if it ever thaws. I think I'll open a little restaurant over there and sell mining pans and Levi's and make some money off this deal, Barry.
I think you have to gauge it off the roofs. So I look at the roofs to see if it, because I feel like there's always going to be probably snow on the ground, right? So I look at the roofs and the little, and they're all colorful, right? I mean, it's interesting.
It's a colorful little town.
They wanted to, because probably other than that, it's probably gloomy a lot of times. So you've got to. You got to brighten it up a bit, it's interesting how they. I want to know who's in charge of the video, right? Because you see that same video all the time now, and I'm like, whose camera is this?
A little McDonald's would fit well there in that little tent with the red and the yellow. Maybe we can get a McDonald's franchise for all the miners coming in, and truck drivers, and railroad workers, and infrastructure people that are going to build the.
There's
not only
one. There's a yellow one for Cat too. You got a yellow one.
Yeah, Caterpillar would fit there. Right in there, driving through
Deere.
The frozen tundra, yeah. And the Golden Dome. Don't forget the Golden Dome. That comes in there too to protect from those. You would be able to ward off those Russian missiles over before they even get close to our continent. So, anyways. They will work out the details, and Greenland security. And Greenland has made it very clear that they want to remain sovereign. They don't want to have Denmark running the ship, and they don't want to have U.S. running the ship. And I'm sure they're open to a little bit of money compensation.
They'd like to be independent, I believe. And, of course, I think, this whole situation's kind of put a damper on their independence, because they were, of course, I guess we need, Denmark and Europe in some form or fashion. Of course, now if there's a deal, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Plays out for them. I tell you what I do know now is I know what I can identify their flag, their country flag. I know what it's red and white, and you know, that's part of that's one thing I've learned from your Greenland article.
I did a little tourist guide from TripAdvisor on the top restaurant over there. I wonder if there's a line out the door now because of Gunderson disclosing the top restaurant to eat at in Nuuk. Anyways, that's Greenland, so we'll put that on the back burner for now and let them work out the details. You've got Rubio and you've got, all of his crew there, including J.D. Vance, working out the details there. Now we'll move over to Venezuela when we come back because we just sold two giant oil cargoes to two U.S. companies. We got a good deal on the oil, and we're going to refine the oil and convert it into gasoline. It's coming out of Caracas, Venezuela. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show with Houston on the docket. Those spots are getting filled up quickly. February the 24th, actually 25th and 26th. February 25th, 26th. That's a Wednesday and a Thursday. Two full days of meetings, appointments, available hours to meet with the team from Gunderson Capital Management, including myself and Barry, obviously. And that workshop Wednesday night, February 25th, at the Westin Galleria. The number to call, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Talk to Edie. Say hi to Edie. And or you can go on our website at GundersonCapital.com. Now, we've got Philip 76 or 66, and we've got Valero reportedly buying a cargo of Venezuelan crude oil as Maduro sits in a Brooklyn prison cell. Was one of the first deals by U.S. Gulf Coast refiners that are part of Washington's agreement with Caracas to export up to 50 million barrels. In other words, we bought the oil.
Yeah.
Phillips 66 and Valero will convert it to gasolina, right?
Yeah, and they're, you know, they're, those are, you know, in terms of where they sit in the oil patch, right? They're primary refiners, and you know, this oil that's actually coming from Venezuela. I've read some info on it. It's actually, a lot of refiners use Canadian oil, and the problem with it is it's thick and nasty, and it's more expensive to refine. In this sense, it's also a thicker crude, but it's actually cheaper for them to refine, so their margins, right, are going to be better on this gasoline than if they were using, you know, Canadian or other
crude. Yeah, and that's a pretty short route from Venezuela our Gulf Coast. And we got a discount of about $9 a barrel to Brent crude. And the money goes into the coffers of Venezuela, their current government, which I don't know if their days are numbered or...
And Valero and Phillips will make a little bit of coin as well, right?
Yes, and the intermediaries, Vitol and Trafigura, bought the Venezuelan oil at a $15 a barrel discount to the global Brent mark, and then turned around and sold it to Valero and Phillips 66, so there was some chop in there for the merchants.
Which is actually higher, by the way, even with that discount, still higher than Venezuela was getting when they were selling their oil.
They were selling it dirt cheap on the black market,
right?
So. Yeah, and the drug lords. The money was probably going to the drug lords. I don't know who it's going to now, but Halliburton says they can be up and running very quickly. Okay, now that's different. ExxonMobil, they said that Venezuela is uninvestable and they had no interest.
Well, when they had lost they've been burned. They lost twice.
Yes. Burned me twice. Second time, shame on me. Yeah. Halliburton on Wednesday reported their earnings and said they're ready to quickly restart operations. And there's where I think the winners are going to be. I think the ones that rebuild the infrastructure, like Halliburton, their CEO is Jeff Miller. He expressed confidence that Halliburton could quickly ramp up its business in Venezuela, which currently represents a small market for the company. But the CEO expects it to become a much bigger business over time. He says, I think we could scale it up fairly quickly. He says, my phone is ringing off the hook in terms of interest in Halliburton being there, Miller said on the call. I think there are opportunities sooner rather than later. So there you go. Capitalism. Capitalism comes in and tries to help a country that's been devastated by their socialistic government and their corrupt government. Goldman Sachs lifts 2022 gold forecast to 5,400 on strong private and central bank demand. Can you believe that? I mean, I don't know how you predict the price of gold because it's not really used for anything. It's just traded. But there is demand. Obviously, that can be measured. Demand, really, at the end of the day, is probably the most important word when it comes to investing. You want to invest in things where there's tremendous demand and they have a hard time keeping up with the demand. And it would seem like gold kind of fits that category right now, and Goldman is using two sources of demand: private investors and central bank demand right now. Okay, we've had some earnings here. This week has been pretty light, but we did get GE. There was a bit of a disappointment there in GE. I wouldn't worry too much about that. I think GE is in good hands with Larry Culp. We've also got earnings from Procter & Gamble. One of my favorite stocks to rip apart, as it's the very epitome of sogginess. And then after the close, we'll get Intel, CSX, the railroad. And we've also gotten Abbott Labs here this morning, another very soggy stock. If you own it in your portfolio, you'd have to ask the question, why? And Schlumberger, or now known as SLB, they will report tomorrow. Okay, another sector in the news once again today, and I think it comes back to that demand issue. You tell me, what do you think? Is there demand right now for more power in the U.S.? And is there a more efficient and potent form of power than nuclear? And you're seeing the nuclear stocks in play and news about the nuclear stocks almost on a daily basis. The Trump administration is to offer states deals to host nuclear waste. Okay, that's one of the issues with nuclear stocks, is storing that waste that it produces. And he's going to seek interest from U.S. states as soon as this week on storing nuclear waste in return for incentives to build nuclear reactors. Okay, South Carolina, you want to build a nuclear reactor and make a bunch of money off of that by selling the product to these data centers? Well, you've also got to agree to store the waste, which only seems logical, but that's not how it's been done in the past. I know California used to ship their waste to northern Nevada and I think southern Utah area, not too far from the little town that my ancestors helped settle, Tooele, Utah. I think there's a big nuclear waste dump not too far from there. which is not good for land values or the water. But anyways, that's a deal happening, and the nuclear stocks definitely in the news, as are the rare earth stocks today. Wow, some big moves there. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, all of the hoopla and the debate going on in Greenland, I think you can pretty much say that the number one issue is rare earth. And I think Trump wants to take that rare earth card that China plays against us away from them, because China has used it and they've got a good reason. They've got leverage over us with their rare earth, and anytime we threaten China, they come back with play the rare earth card, right? And
I think, of course, on the defense angle, right? In terms of laid out as a map, you know, it's interesting. Alaska has provided a buffer zone, right, between us and the rest of the.
Yes.
Rest of the world, and you know, if you look at a map and you look to the right, at Greenland actually would serve a very similar purpose from a defense standpoint. Also, in terms of the Arctic, and you've had a lot of press in terms of China building, a bunch of icebreaker boats, right, and other things of that nature, and so. I think those two pieces, right? Certainly, the leverage of the minerals would be a big play, because we talked about using, you know, Trump talked about, you know, minerals being part of a Ukraine deal with Russia.
So, yes, I don't know what became of that. I don't know. I think the
right.
territory where the rare earth is in Ukraine is still disputed territory, and they're still fighting. It will be a little difficult to mining operations now.
Right.
That might be one of the reasons why he's trying to bring about peace in Ukraine, is so that we could get in there and have access to those metals. But if you don't think that it's not playing a big role here, look at critical metals today, which I've featured many times. My Greenland edition of the newsletter several weeks ago, I identified 3 stocks that have exposure there, and none more than critical metals, which has exposure all over the world, a lot in Australia too. They seem to be a specialist in these rare earths. CRML, which is a tiny little company, $164 million in market cap. You have to put that into perspective. That's tiny. That's a micro cap. It's not a penny stock, however. It's not in that territory. It's a $17 stock. It's $164 million. You know, I was comparing it with somebody to MP Materials, which is probably the U.S. number one rare earth stock. It's $12.2 billion MP Materials, the one near Las Vegas. $12.2 billion. So this is really tiny. I mean, it's 1/100th of the size of MP, but does it have, what kind of upside potential does it have? Can you imagine if it became a $1 billion company? That'd be a 7-bagger. From here, and they do have, I mean, they have $250 million in revenues right now. So you know, to me, it's the play on Greenland. It's the pure play on Greenland. And we
do own it. 13% today.
Yeah. It's up 13.7 right now on 3x normal volume. It is very, very, you know, speculative, obviously. There's no infrastructure there. You might be able to get several tons of rare earth out of the ground. How are you going to transport it? Is there a port there? Are there railroads? Are there roads? Are there trucking? Is there labor there? I mean, a lot has to happen. But the thing I like about critical metals, they're getting most of their money right now from lithium. And lithium stocks are in play right now. Albemarle has been up like 8 days in a row. That's a North Carolina lithium play, ALB. And Critical Metals just signed a big deal down in Australia for rare earth. And now the race is on for rare earth refineries, which we had several. I'm going to look into the history of that, where they were, when did they close, can they be fired back up again, as all of a sudden, you know, it's being driven really by AI, I would say, and the electric vehicle, and defense.
Defense is the one that the administration's certainly focused on, because that's you've got to have it for a lot of these
yes.
A lot of these new technologies that are a lot of our cutting edge technology comes from the military or from the government first,
100%,
and then goes from there. So.
Yes, and those chips, NVIDIA chips, there's a reason why we don't want China to have them. It's not because we don't want them having data centers. They have a defense. They have defense uses.
Right.
And it gives one the military an edge over the other military. The technology does. So anyways, that's part of it. And other rare earth stocks, I would say the behind MP, I'm going to call USA Rare Earth number two. We own it too, and that's down in our emerging growth portfolio. Now, they have investment from the U.S. government, and I like this whole business of investing in these companies rather than throwing money at them, which has been done in previous administrations. Just throw money at them. Just throw taxpayer money at them, especially in the solar and wind industry. No, I like taking a piece, getting in return. We want some stock and ownership in this venture. Hey, the U.S. is making a ton of money on their Intel investment. Have you seen that stock breaking out yesterday?
Yeah, right.
Unbelievable. Now, Intel's going to report tonight, I believe. Yes, tonight after the close. I wouldn't expect much other than some of the initiatives they're making. But look at this USA Rare Earth today. It's up 22%. And that we bought that not too long ago in the emerging growth portfolio where, you know, that's... When you do an asset allocation, Barry, usually financial planners would say, look, 5 to 10% of your portfolio maybe could be in the emerging markets, emerging growth, gold, crypto, whatever. And so there is room in a portfolio for stocks like this, and that's why we have the emerging growth portfolio. I personally have my entire Roth IRA in the emerging growth portfolio. That's my speculative one. And USA Rare Earth's doing quite well today. It's up 21%. And that's the one, that's that big mound down there in Texas, and they think underneath the ground is there a lot of rare earth metals. And then, of course, UUU, which has been pretty hot, they're doing some deals in Australia. And they're doing rare earth in Madagascar. All of a sudden, rare earth that they've kind of just overlooked in the past, saying, you know, it's not worth building the infrastructure there. It's not worth going under the ground there. But now all of a sudden, places like Madagascar.
And they recently, partly to, could potentially be to blame in terms of a cash grab. They had a, they had a coup in the last few months. If I'm
not mistaken,
in
Madagascar,
right? Yeah.
Maybe where the CIA was there, I don't know. But UUU also owns uranium properties, which is also in play big time. Why? Because of nuclear stuff. You know, Westinghouse, that stock is doing very well. Uranium Energy, UEC, doing very well today, hitting a new high. Westinghouse is now Cameco. And, you know, I was reading the history of Westinghouse. You know what they started with? Their air brakes for trains, bringing trains to a stop. You know, that's a lot of inertia, a lot of weight. And Westinghouse invented the air brake. And from there, Westinghouse became a major player in appliances, TVs, all kinds of different things, can openers, toasters. But at the end of the day, you know, when they went bankrupt, it was over their nuclear part of their company, where they were 7 years behind, $7 billion over budget. And in comes a uranium company like Cameco out of Canada that owns 49% of Westinghouse. And by the way, Cameco's headquartered in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. That's a mouthful. Also, the 51% is owned by BEP, the other. That's Brookfield, which is headquartered in Bermuda. But I believe it's also a Canadian company. And those two have been doing very well here recently as stocks. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, management of companies is very, very important. You want Cracker Jack management. You want Best Stocks Now. You don't want soggy stocks now. And two companies have reported earnings, and the difference between the two is like night and day. One has a Cracker Jack CEO that has completely one of the greatest turnarounds of all time, and the other one, soggy performance for the last decade, and they're blaming geopolitics on their problems. I don't know what geopolitics has to do with Procter and Gamble, maybe the tariffs, but let's first look at GE. In October of 2018, they hired a new CEO to clean up the mess that Larry Immelt had made. And in fact, you know, in 2008, GE tanked. It was down 89% because they had a lot of exposure. They had gotten into the financial.
Their mortgage arm, yeah. And they had an insurance, insurance division that also is kind of a double whammy for them, even though they made everything from jet engines to selling mortgages and also, your medical equipment. I mean, they sold everything.
And so the company barely survived that 2008-2009 crash, down 89%. It recovered, and then it started peeling off again in 2018. It went from 160 down to 34. Nothing but trouble. They were in all the wrong businesses, and in comes Larry Culp from Donaher at $34 a share in 2018. Where is it at today? $318 per share. In 8 years, the stock is up almost 10. It's almost a 10-bagger. We'll call it it's up 1,000% from that low in 2018. And I was just looking at the Best Stocks Now app. Over the last 5 years, GE has averaged for investors 42% per year. And I think if you probably were to compound annual growth the time that Culp has been there, probably about 50% a year is what it's returned, about 50% per year. And I don't think that even counts the spinoffs.
That's just
GE stock.
That's the tricky part. With some of the spinoffs, and you know, you got, you know, some of them, you got a little bit of cash, and you got stock in a new
company. And what does that become?
GE Vernova. I mean, it's been phenomenal, right? I mean,
maybe you've received 100% per year when you factor in the two companies you got. You know, in addition to your GE, but I'm just looking at GE stock alone. Over the last 3 years, it's averaged 73%. And you're seeing all these orders that Boeing is getting. Well, a Boeing customer gets a choice of two engines. You can have any engine you like, as long as it's GE or Rolls-Royce. Take your pick. And so GE has got that front. They've got the GE Vernova nuclear front. Their aerospace division is going gangbusters. And the stock over the last 12 months is up 75%. We own GE. It is down a little bit today. There must have been something with forward guidance. It is right now down 5%. 5%. So a little bit of profit-taking coming out of the stock. But the performance that Culp has done, and I don't think he's done yet, and don't forget GE has military, they have aviation, they have defense. They used to make locomotives for railroads, them and
make
GM.
Ultrasound machines? I mean, I don't know which division does that now, but they do make ultrasound machines.
That's right. GE, that's probably the medical division that was spun off. So I would say that right now GE, the company GE, is basically aerospace. It is an aerospace, turboprop engines, jet engines, integrated systems for commercial, military, and aviation aircraft. And their sales were up 19%, and their sales were up 18%. Their sales were up 19%. Okay, now the dog, Procter and Gamble, one of the biggest companies in Cincinnati, maybe the biggest publicly traded company, 3% growth, 3% growth in sales, 3% growth in earnings, horrible performance over the last 10 years. Over the last 5 years, and it's in the Dow, and it is in every portfolio I get from a major wirehouse firm.
It really is. And the P.E. ratio is, I mean, it's basically 21 forward PE ratio. So I mean, it's, you know, do you think it should be,
and for that
market multiple? No,
and for that risk, valuation risk, over the last 5 years, you've gotten a total return of 4.6% per year, which you can do that almost in a treasury right now at 4.28. Over the last 3 years, you've gotten a 3.0% return. Total return, and that includes a pretty hefty dividend. And over the last 12 months, Procter & Gamble's down 7%. And if you're at home looking at your portfolio, let's see, you just got your statements not too long ago, your year-end statement, look at your portfolio, see if PG is in your portfolio.
It's got a 2% earnings growth, by the way, Bill, for 2026.
Terrible. Yeah. Horrible. And they're blaming global politics is what they're blaming. Really?
What do you think? Do you think they're going to get better? Do you think global politics are going to get better? You need to figure out how to work around it.
Yes. Anyways, the tale of two stocks. Which one do you want in your portfolio? When it comes to the All-Star game in the mid-summer, which player do you want on your team in that lineup of just 21 or 25 or whatever it is? Take your pick. You can have a loser. You can have a winner. No guarantees going forward, okay? But we're just looking at track records here and performance, which you cannot hide from performance. All right, we're out of time. We're getting calls on our Houston trip. on February 25th and 26th, a Wednesday and a Thursday, at the Galleria, at the Weston Galleria. Westons are nice places. I'm usually pretty happy with Westons. They have a good name, good brand, good service. Hopefully they got good food, too, we'll see, and a nice room to present there in Houston. You better call and reserve a spot if you want one of those prime one-hour appointments with us, or if you want to attend the workshop on that Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., 855-611-BEST. Or you can call us from anywhere and set up an appointment with us at 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.